love that song. I know who I am. I'm walking in power, walking in miracles. I live a life of favor. I know who I am. I'm walking in power, walking in miracles. I live a life of favor. Know who? Whoa. Hallelujah. If you know who you are this morning, give the Lord a shout of praise. Bless his wonderful name. The Bible says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. Thank you, Lord. When I was preaching in Ghana recently, I said it like this to the congregation. I said, you know that scripture that says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. You know, there's certain types of oh.
Yes.
You know, if you get sacked from your job, you say oh. If somebody gives you a nice Christmas present, you say oh. When the blind eyes open, oh. Hallelujah to Jesus. When the lame walk, oh. Hallelujah. When the dead are raised, oh, glory to God. May you see it in your life and in your ministry in Jesus' mighty name. Can you say amen? Before we get into the word this morning, I just want to prophesy over Roro. All of you, how many of you love Roro? And a worship leading and oh my goodness me. I saw you in the spirit this morning and you were singing and shouting and dancing and praising God. And the Lord had lifted you up on like a mound. I saw like a mound of stuff. And it was A4 paper. It was like a mountain of A4 paper. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, so what's this? What's this that she's standing on? Because you were standing on it and blah, blah, blah. And the Lord said that these A4 papers were the testimonies of the people that were going to be set free, healed, delivered, restored through your ministry. And then the Lord said that I should prophesy that you'll travel with my wife and you'll be a sword of breakthrough in the realm of the spirit. You'll be like the sharp point of the sword that brings the breakthrough so that my wife can flow and in the ministry that God has given her. Hallelujah. And then God said that I should look after your children the way you've looked after mine when you go. So I'll be your babysitter while you're going. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad for the voice of God in your life? If you're glad for his voice, give the Lord a shout of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we come before your word this morning and we thank you so much for what your word does. We thank you so much for the inherent residual power in your word, Heavenly Father, to change lives and to shape destinies, to turn mourning into dancing, to turn the barren into the mother of a multitude, to turn a blind eye into a seeing eye, to turn a deaf ear into a hearing ear, to turn a broken marriage into an exemplary marriage, to turn broken finances into multi-millions, to turn wayward children into the greatest prophets and preachers and apostles that this generation will see. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you the praise and we give you the glory and the honor for it in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, please take your seats. If you have your Bible with you right now, will you turn with me to the 4th chapter of Mark? And I want to say something the way that God said it to me. He said that these words you're about to speak are the most important words that this congregation will hear for the whole year. If you get these, if you listen to these few words, and in fact, if you look at this scripture in the Amplified, please, if you don't have an Amplified, just put your Bible aside and look at Mark chapter 4 and verse number 24 in the Amplified. We'll wait for it to come up. Right. Now, Mark 4:24. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's just given them what he called the keynote parable to life, the parable of the sower. He said, if you understand this parallel truth, you'll understand every parallel truth in the kingdom of heaven. That's what Mark 4, the parable of the sower, is all about. It's one of the most important scriptures in the entire Bible. And the minute he finishes telling them that, he goes on to say this. And he, that's Jesus, said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. Now, this scripture here, verse 24, if you look at that that piece of scripture there, it says, the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge. That word virtue is the same word when the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of Jesus' garment. The Bible says that Jesus felt virtue flow from him. So what is virtue? Virtue is God's residual power to achieve what God wants to do in your life. And the way that you release virtue is right there. He said, be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. So one of the things that has always disheartened and discouraged me as a messenger of God's word is when people fall asleep during church. Because they're so close to the truth, but yet so far away. Do you see what I mean? Can you imagine God is going to say to you the most important thing you're going to hear for the week? It's the key to your breakthrough. It's the key to your promotion. It's the key to your prosperity. It's the key to your children living life in their right mind, and yet you're sleeping. May God deliver you from every slumbering spirit in the name of Jesus. In fact, let me give you license and authority right here. If you're ever sat next to somebody who is sleeping in church, I give you license to slap them. And by your presence here, I declare that you are in agreement with what I just said. If you're saying amen to that, give the Lord a hand of praise. He said, be careful what you hear. The measure. Listen to that word, the measure. In other words, if I give God this much attention, then this much virtue will flow. Right? And you don't need, this is one thing I've realized from God, you don't need much to achieve much in life. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a what? Mustard seed, the smallest of all the seeds, you can say to this mountain, move, and it will be removed. So you don't need much virtue. You don't need to hear much. You don't need to listen too much. It's not a strenuous thing that God is putting this through. It's an attention thing. Well, the Bible says that when Peter and John saw the lame man, the Bible says he fixed his gaze on them. It's like, wow, I had his attention. Virtue flowed out of me and I pulled him to his feet, and his feet and ankle bones were made strong as a result. Do you see what I'm saying? The Bible, the lame man at Lystra in the ministry of Paul, the Bible says that when Paul perceived that he had faith to be healed, he said to the guy, stand up on your faith, the Lord on your feet, the Lord makes you whole. You remember that scripture in the book of Acts? Well, suppose the guy was asleep. Okay, let's move on now into the word. Praise Jesus, I got your attention. The measure. God said this to me this morning. I was asking him about what I should minister. I always take the first week of the year to be one of the most important weeks, because that's when we set the course of the year. Don't wait for the devil to set the agenda for your life for the year. Amen. Don't wait for the devil to do it. Declare, stand on the word of God yourself. What I do, like now, I never used to do this, but God started to speak to me like 2 months before the end of the year to start declaring into the next year. because my words of declaration can become a powerful seed of prophecy to direct the course of that year, right? So when God said to me, he said, right, this year, 2015, is going to be an apostolic year. It's going to be the year of go. Then I know that going is what's important to God, right? He said, go preach the gospel to every creature. So going is going to be really important. Even if you just go up to Burnt Oak. How many of you know there's like millions of poor people in Burnt Oak need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? The good news to the poor, that Jesus is anointed to prosper them. He's not just anointed to save them and heal them. He's anointed to prosper them too. And then to give them the badge of the ambassador that they can go out and preach the same news around the world. That's my story, so I know that it's true. I know God's not messing around. How many of you know God isn't messing around? There's too little time left for God to mess around. And the Lord told me this as well. He said, 2015 and 2016, he said, you're going to see a magnification and an acceleration of my work in the earth. And he said this to me. He said, behold, I am coming and my reward is with me. Now, the closer that God gets to like his manifestation in the earth, the more his reward will be visible. He says, behold, I am coming and my reward is with me. Do you see what I mean? So things like prayer, things like righteousness, things like purity, good living, faith, study of God's word, things like that are going to become more and more important in these days. And he said also that 2015 and 2016 were going to be twin years. He said that things that start in 2015 in your life, he said the reward in 2016 will be very quickly manifest. So there's things that God's going to call you to do in 2015 that you're not going to understand why, but then 2016, you look back and say, wow, praise God. I never knew. You see, this is one great thing. You know, the Bible says he's the God of more. He's able to do, Scripture says, exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. What? According to the power that works within us. Or we could say, according to the measure of virtue and knowledge that works within us. Because his power is his virtue, and his virtue is his power. Does that make sense? If some of you are looking at me quizzical, but give the Lord a hand of praise, he'll reveal it to you in Jesus' mighty name. This is what the Lord said to me at an individual level. He said, at a corporate level, this is our year of go. He said, at an individual level, he said, go for two things. Number one, triumph. Number two, profitability. Go for triumph and go for profitability. They're the twin sisters of success for 2015. Triumph and profitability. I make no apology at all for standing with the word of God when it comes to triumph and profitability. The Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who causes us to triumph in all things and manifests in us the sweet aroma of Jesus Christ. So there's a triumphant spirit. He causes us to triumph. Blessed be the name of the Lord my God, it says in the book of Psalms, who always causes me to triumph in him. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, if we are led by the Spirit of God, we are sons of God. And it says in 2 Corinthians 1, which I just quoted, he always leads us in triumph. So if we're being led by the Spirit of God, we're going to be led into triumph. Amen. But Pastor P, my marriage is a wreck. Yeah, but you haven't seen the other side. The story's not over until the fat lady sings. Amen. Or rather, what is it? It's not over until it's over. You know, with the fat lady, have you heard that saying before? It's not over till the fat lady sings. That was Al Capone's. You remember Al Capone, the Chicago gangster? And he was sitting in the opera house. Somebody stood up to leave. He said, sit down. It ain't over till the fat lady sings. Because he was watching an opera. You know, the Italian. Anyway. It's not over till the fat lady sings. I don't know what she's going to sing, but it's going to be something glorious. Praise God. So God leads us in triumph, always. always. Out of the worst, you imagine if 2015 is a year of complete and utter disaster, if it's like, oh my gosh, I wish this year had, have you ever had a year that you wish it never happened? Yeah. Well, can you imagine coming out of that year, but because you stood in it and you declared all things work together for the good, for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose, and you stood on that scripture until you saw the manifest reality of coming out the other side of that tragedy. That's what God is like. You can't lose in this thing. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will what? Always lead us in triumph. Always. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, go for triumph. And profitability. And then scripture started coming out of my spirit this morning as the Lord was speaking this to me. And he said this, he said, that the Bible says in the book of James, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning or variation whatsoever. Praise the holy name of Jesus. Sometimes it's good to get an amplifier. How many of you, you've got an amplified Bible? You can even download it now on your smartphone and all kinds of stuff like that. But there's something, when you find a scripture like that, the ones I avoid in the Amplified are the judgment ones. I want to squash them ones down. The Bible says that Christ was made a curse for us so that the blessing of Abraham would be released on the Gentiles. So I count myself blessed. So all those judgment ones, I kind of sidestep them and blah, blah, blah. But the good ones, I amplify them. Blessed be the Lord, hey, my rock, who trains my hands for warfare and my fingers for battle. Glory to God. He says, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning or variation whatsoever. Another scripture that kept popped out in my spirit, I think it's Psalm 84. It says, no good thing shall he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So how you walk is going to be important to God. The integrity of your heart. Even if people misunderstand you, there's always going to be the possibility that you'll be misunderstood. But if the integrity of your heart is intact, your testimony will be intact. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. I hope you're getting something. The measure of thought and study you put into what's being told you today will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that will flow into your life in 2015. He says here, it says, blessed be God who always leads us in triumph. He says, beloved, I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I know a lot of evangelicals that wish that wasn't in the Bible. I'm so glad it's in the Bible. Anyone been poor? Come on, am I the only one who's been poor in my life? Poverty sucks. Like, really sucks. How many of you know I'm telling the truth? Yes, big time. So what's the opposite of poverty? Prosperity, abundance, no lack. The Bible calls it an abundance for every good work. That's how you know that you're prospering, is when you've got an abundance for every good work. When you see a good work and you don't sow into it, that's when your river's going to dry up and it serves you right. Because God wants you to be a river, not a reservoir. Can you say amen? Amen. So there's a flow that God wants us in, and it's a flow of prosperity. There's a river of health. There is a river of health that flows from the cross of Jesus. What does it say? What is that old-time song about the river of blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins? Anyone know that song? It's an old Baptist one, is it? How does it go? Here we go.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilt and stain.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise for that. Praise Jesus. There's something about tuning in to the voice of the Holy Spirit for your life. It's the most encouraging thing you can do in your life. Glory to God forever. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And the Lord said to me, he said, this is how to set the course of your life for the year. Number one, declare what the year will be. declare it. Like I said earlier, don't wait for the devil. The devil has an agenda for every year. I noticed this one time, you know, things will go swimmingly, and then about the end of January, boom, you hit a bump. And it's like, hang on a second, this wasn't what I was declaring. This didn't line up with God's agenda for my year. You see, but if I didn't have God's agenda for my year, chances are I would have got stuck in that rut. Some of you that you faced sickness last year like you've never faced it before, and if you didn't know that the Word of God promises health, promises blessing, promises healing, then you would have been 6 foot under by now. That's the truth. That's the truth. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God that you were awake at the time that healing was preached. Amen. If you'd slept through it, you'd have died. And we'd have one more funeral to do. May God deliver us from funerals in Jesus' mighty name. It's one of the reasons why I go on at people about their fitness. You see, physical fitness, the Bible says, is profitable temporarily. In other words, when you die, it doesn't matter whether you were fit or not, you're dead. But while... Hey, yeah, I'll preach to you. But while you're alive... but while you are... Turn and nudge your neighbor and tell them, while you're alive... Fitness is important. Yes, absolutely. Praise God. Need to get this right. It says physical fitness, physical discipline is profitable temporarily, but godliness is profitable unto all things. In fact, turn now. I just want to rest on that for a little while. Turn up the heat. Praise God on your unfit self. Some of you, your husbands will be so happy I preach this. For some of you, your wives, you'll be able to see your toes for the first time in years. 1 Timothy 4. It's good to know that these things are in the Bible. Praise God. Look at what it says in 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 7. It says, but have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds the promise for the present life and also for the life to come. In other words, if you're just physically fit, but you're not spiritually fit, then really you're kind of wasting your time, because when you die, that's the end of your reward. But if you're physically fit in this life and you're spiritually fit for the next life, then that's the double portion. Amen. Amen. Now, it's very important that you understand the role of physical fitness. The Lord said to me that one of the trusted weapons of the devil for this generation, the generation that we are in right now, is that we won't outlive our children. It's a trusted weapon of the devil. That our children won't outlive us. In other words, it's important that our children bury us. That's God's way around, that the children carry the coffin of their fathers, etc. Right? But he said, a trusted weapon of the devil. You imagine how much knowledge and wisdom and understanding that I carry, even just naturally, just because I'm 48, 49 years old. Do you see what I mean? That there's a pool there that our children in their 20s will be able to tap if we're still around. But if we're not around because we didn't look after ourselves correctly, then there's no pool for our children to tap. So then, you see, one of the trusted weapons of the devil is to knock out the fathers so the children don't know what they're doing. If you look at the nation of Uganda, one of the things that really troubled my spirit when I went to preach in Uganda a couple of times was that there was no real fathers. There was no overseers of these pastors and leaders who were doing, as a result, ending up in all kinds of nonsense. Some of them ended up like in gross immorality. Some of them ended up prophesying all kinds of stupid things. I don't know if you've seen some of the stuff that's happened in Facebook and stuff like that. It's easier to get hold of now when you see some of these stories about, you know, one pastor told all the single women in his church that they shouldn't wear panties for the year. Where did that come from? Another one, he said that he should have intercourse with them all so that they could get married. Hey. And I was thinking to myself, where's the fathers in this? So I asked one of the pastors, I said, so where are the spiritual voices of stability for this generation? He said, oh, Idi Amin killed them all. That's what happened. There was a massacre of church leaders in Uganda. Am I right? Alex is there. Am I right? Yeah, that's what happened. Anyone and everyone who was a spiritual father in Uganda in the 70s was murdered by Idi Amin. So now you can imagine, you see, now this generation, we don't need Idi Amin. We got Burger King. What's the difference? It will do the same objective will be achieved by the devil, except we'll enjoy ourselves to death rather than... Do you understand? I mean, thank God for Burger King, Mickey D's, KFC. I'm a regular patron of their services and their fizzy beverages, etc. But I'm very, very tough on my body. I'm very tough. And not only that, you see, but I will fight. There's no way that I will take a headache tablet for a headache first. I may have to after 6 weeks, but I'll fight that thing first. Do you see what I mean? Because that's how you develop your faith. He trains your hands for warfare and your fingers for battle. So if you can win the war against a verruca, then you can win the war against cancer. Because verruca is a little thing wrong, cancer's a big thing wrong, but if you've fought and won the battle against a verruca, then you can win it against cancer. Do you get the point? Right. So the measure of thought and attention that you apply. The word of God in my life is more important than the word of my doctor. In fact, I don't even know who my doctor is, but I know who the word comes from. Does that make sense? Right. So train yourself in that area. So train yourself for physical well-being. Why? Because the Bible says it's profitable. Remember what I said? Go for triumph and profitability. If you go for those two things, then 2015 will be a successful year for you. Triumph and profitability. Triumph, you don't get triumph without warfare. You don't. Get used to it, folks. We're in a war. Let's fight. We are not a civilian people. The body of Christ is a military body. We are clothed, the Bible says, with the whole armor of God. Why would you dress up a civilian in armor? Can you imagine some guy is going to work and he's got an AK on his back and he's Kevlar'd up and he's like got paint? What would you think? The guy's batty. So you obviously have to realize that this is a warfare. Life is a warfare. Life is a fight. Faith is a fight. Bible says fight the good fight of faith. So faith is a ruck. And thank God for being raised in Tottenham. Thank God for my Irish genetic pool. I know what a good fight is. Ah, feels good. Sometimes you need to just cause a fight with the devil. I heard the Lord say something to me this morning that really blessed my soul incredibly. He said this. He said, because I've been praying about England's purpose in the nations. You know, America is a covenant nation with God, right? Israel is a covenant nation with God. Israel was created because God loves people, right? You trace the genealogy of Israel, it stretches all the way back to the throne of God. Israel was created as a nation because God loves people. America was created as a nation because people loved God. The foundation of the United States of America was a covenant with God. You need to do your history. If you don't know the history of nations, it's very, very important to find out how your nation came about, because part of your DNA is in that nation. Or rather, part of that nation is in your DNA. Let me put it that way, right? Whether you like it or not. There'll be cultural blessings. There'll be cultural curses. There'll be cultural freedoms. There'll be cultural bondages. There'll be cultural arguments. There'll be cultural positives. Always. No matter which nation you came from. Even if it's like, I don't know, like Latvia or something. Some tiny little nation. There'll be something there. There'll be a thread in your DNA that's got something to do with what God wants to do with that nation. So I've been praying about England and its role in life. And the Lord said this to me. He said, you remember the myth of St. George and the dragon. That's where England came about, and that's why St. George is the patron saint of England, right? And he said this. He said, England is where I have raised dragon slayers. I thought, wow, doesn't that fit? Really does fit. If you think about it, next to the United States, in fact, you know what? We're actually bigger than the United States in terms of missionaries. We are a missionary nation. Why? Because we could go out and slay dragons wherever we were. In fact, America is a Christian country today because England went out and conquered that place. Hallelujah. I like that. That's what I'm going to call myself from now. I'm going to call myself a dragon slayer in Jesus' mighty name. Wouldn't that be good? Hallelujah. Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the readiness to preach the gospel of peace, sword of the Spirit in one hand, shield of faith in the other. Where's my dragon? Hallelujah. It's not my wife, I promise you. She's very, very beautiful. It will have to be another dragon. Glory to God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you getting something this morning? The Lord said this. He said, declare what your year will be. Number two, he said, labor towards it. Labor towards it. Labor towards what the year will be. What does that mean? It's talking about your prayer. How many of you know prayer is a labor? Prayer is a labor. It's much easier to be at home in bed. Much easier to be watching telly. Much easier to be dining out or whatever. But prayer is a labor. Colossians chapter 4, when Paul is writing to the church at Colossae, and he's saying that there's a guy called Epaphras. He said, a dear brother of ours is praying for you and for the church at Laodicea, laboring in prayer. Do you remember when Paul the apostle said, I who labor again in travail until Christ is formed in you? So prayer is a labor. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, prayer is a labor. So you've got to discipline yourself towards labor, amen? Yes. I don't know anyone who prays who started out enjoying prayer. Anybody. I remember the first all night I went to, I said, Jesus, my God, what is this? Now I'm addicted to it. Prayer becomes addictive because when you see the results of prayer, he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. And there's an opportunity for us to neither slumber nor sleep with him and get this job done. Pushing through into victory. That prophet's Nana said that time when the fat lady sat down on the guy. Did you hear this story about his first time he went to Lagos, Nigeria? Hallelujah. Jesus, my God. And there was a skinny little man sitting on the edge of a chair. And this huge fat woman, you know the way, hey, there's some nations, they can do them big. And she had two humongous bags. And she's coming in and there's like a tiny little inch or two left on the edge of the seat. So she's looking at this guy and she comes in with a bag. She says, Oga, push now. In other words, like, move over, shift over a bit so I can sit down on the edge. Oh, God, push now. And he looks up, he says, ma'am, please, there's no room. There's no. She, like this, she sits down on the guy like this. And prophet's thinking, my gosh, what is this nation? Who are these people? But one thing I've learned from that, oh, God, push now. You know what push means? Pray until something happens. Hallelujah to Jesus. Pray, 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 pray. Is any among you afflicted, the Bible says in the book of James? Let him pray. Doesn't mean let him pick up the phone and whine and, I need counseling. You don't need counseling. You need to pray. You need to be delivered from the spirit of prayerlessness. May God deliver you from that spirit in the name of Jesus. Look at this. Look, verse 12 of Colossians 4. Epaphras, who is one of our number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. Isn't that good? So he said, declare over your year. Declare what your year will be. In fact, don't even leave this house today until you've declared what this year will be for you. Declare it in the name of Jesus. Number two, labor towards it. Labor towards it. That's labor in prayer. And then number three, he said, endure towards it. This is what the Holy Spirit said to me this morning concerning endurance. He said, endurance is one of the greatest signs that you're walking in faith. Isn't that good? Endurance is one of the greatest signs that you are walking in faith. If you want to know whether you're walking in faith or not, are you enduring to what the promises of God have said for your life? The Bible says that the promises of God are yes and amen in him. So there's no two ways about God. You know, there's no, oh, well, if it's God's will or not. That's how I know it's God's will for me to be whole continually all the days of my life. It's because there's no shadow of turning nor variation whatsoever in our God. Every good gift, he says in the book of James, comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning or variation whatsoever. As far as I'm concerned, that's an end to all argument. An end to all argument. One of the things, one of the ingredients of endurance that I've found for my life, and I've got an unusual testimony in this, is in the area of my giving. I've endured through lack. How many of you, you've given through lack and now you're in abundance and you've seen the faithfulness of God all the way through your lack and now you're living in abundance? Just put up your hand right now. That's a testimony before God. That's where I am right now. I've seen lack. When I was living, Nick, when I was living in Ireland, and I was living, in fact, it was in Renmore Park, the house in that Bridie Flaherty's house. You remember her? And I was sitting there in this little bedsit, and I read a passage of scripture from Isaiah, I think it's the 58th chapter. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will cause your feet to tread upon the high places of the earth, right? I saw myself at that moment. God showed me a picture of myself flying in aeroplanes and going around the world preaching the gospel to all kinds of peoples and races and tribes and tongues, you name it, they were there. And yet, in the natural, I didn't even have the bus fare to get out of town. I used to shop in that dog of a store in Ballyban. Do you remember that place where you could buy 20 sausages for $1.99? Can you imagine what was in those sausages for £1.99? 20 value burgers for £1.99. And one night I'd have sausages, the other night I'd have burgers. And you could tell whether it was Monday, Wednesday or Friday, depending on what I was going to eat that night. And I had a big 4-stone bag of potatoes. You know, the big 4-stone bag of spuds. And like, gosh, that was it. That was all I could afford. And yet God's telling me, delight yourself in the Lord. Your feet shall ride upon the high places of the earth. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, I knew I had to declare it, number one. I knew I had to labor over it in prayer, number two. And I knew, number three, I had to endure towards it. So when God showed me that I could sow into my future and that I could make it happen, that's how going from not having the bus fare out of town, going to have more than enough to achieve that goal, that's how I got there. Does that make sense? And so it's like it's an unusual testimony because I know exactly what my net worth was the day I got saved. I had £500 to my name. That was it. End of story. 4 years later, after I came back from Ireland, I had £500 to my name. We had never heard of the principle of tithing. We'd never heard of sowing. Did we ever hear anything like that? Nick was in the same group that I was. Nothing like that at all. It was a foreign thing. So I went to a church in Finchley Road, Hampstead. Michael Bassett was the pastor, and he was teaching about this thing called tithing. And I was asking myself, what's this thing about tithing? And then I, you know, he would say that it's like, it's the key to prosperity. It's the key to your blessing. It's the key to all kinds of stuff manifesting in the natural. And it's like, well, like, you know, how do I do it? And it's like, well, you purpose in your heart. You make a covenant with God that you're going to be a tither and that you'll see the blessing and the promises of God coming to manifest. So that was, I had £500 to my name then in 1989, April. And then now I'm 1,000 times richer as a result of being in that tithing flow. That's my personal covenant with God. That anything, and God knows that anything he puts in my hand, that he will get a tenth of. That's it. And it's as easy as that. Now, for some people, that would be a labor. For some people, it's like, what? You mean like, you know, if you earn 100 grand a year, that 10 grand of that is the Lord's? It's like, oh, now I'm a Tottenham boy. You understand? We know a good scam when we see one. That's the God's honest truth. I mean, you know, I know guys would like dip you for everything you had and you'd think they were doing you a favor, right? So, like, I was coming at it from that standpoint. And God completely and utterly changed my mind. I went through scripture and I saw in the book of Proverbs, it says, honor the Lord with your increase and from the first fruits of all your wealth. And then in the book of Numbers, chapter 18, it explains what your first fruits are, that the first fruits are your tithe. It says, so shall your barns be full and your vats overflow. I said, huh. I can't wait to see this. So I did it. And it worked. Now, if something works, then part of the role that we have is to work it. Does that make sense? So that's what I did. I started to live a tither's lifestyle. I said, Lord, right, if I'm going to do this thing, I'm going to do it right. What I used to do when it came to things like pay reviews and stuff like that, I used to tithe in advance. So I say, Lord, this is what I'm going to give you every week if you bless me when it comes to the pay review, the salary review. Man, I prospered beyond measure. A guy with 2 O-levels from Tottenham becoming an executive at one of the big 4 banks in Britain, winning prize after prize. People who had, like, my boss had so many letters after her name, they couldn't even fit it all on her business card. These were the guys I was working with. And God prospered me. There was a wave of redundancy. You remember that 90s recession, the early 90s? And I was working on a floor of 56 people. They fired 55 people. Sorry, no. There was 3 got relocated. That's right. 3 got relocated. 52 got fired and I got promoted. Now, that is the testimony to the covenant that I made with God. This isn't something that God will squeeze out of you. How many of you, God has ever visited you in the night and said, you must tithe or you're going to die? No way. No. I think God's not that stupid. The Bible says that which is not of what? Faith is what? Sin. So if I was going to be a tithe, I was going to tithe in faith. There were going to be a time, and this is why I've touched on it this morning, that my tithing would be an endurance. Do you remember what I was saying? Declare over the year, labor in it, and endure through it. And I didn't know that that would be the case, but the way that God has blessed me. Can I finish now with a testimony? Have you got 5 more minutes? Let me give you this testimony. Right. I was, we'd had a little disruption in the church. There was a woman who was stealing money from the church's finances several years ago. And I had to involve the police because charity law says that you've got to, you know, you've got to bring it. You can't bury things like that because it will come out in the books and then you can be liable as a board, etc. So we had to bring the police in. It was a big mess. And she ended up leaving the church. Her husband ended up leaving the church. And I ended up without a youth ministry, without a youth pastor. And so the Lord said to me, he said, I should take on the youth and I should, you know, be there. Pastor there. In fact, some of you were there, right? Were you in the youth that time? Nana, Hyatt, Jess, loads of all these people. In fact, a good number of them are upstairs now as well. And so I was in this predicament that I was having to lead the youth. Now, here I am. What was I? I don't know, maybe like late 30s. And, you know, like, unless you're in your mid-20s, you ain't going to make a good youth pastor. You're going to look decidedly old and grey to anyone in the ministry, right? So anyway, I did my best. And I thought, you know what? Now's my opportunity to introduce these guys to the supernatural. So we would pray, I would prophesy, I would declare, etc. The Lord interrupted me one night, and he said to me, he said, there's somebody here, and they have a relative who is sitting, and I saw this in my spirit, they're sitting on a cream leather couch, and they've got a clipboard in their hand, and they're about to sign a contract, and it's the wrong contract. The Lord says, I've got more for you, I've got more money for you. Don't sign the contract, right? So I said to the youth, I said, anyone here got a relative with a cream leather couch and they're signing some sort of contract? I can see it. They're all looking at me, no. You know, no. How was it, Jess? No. Something like that. And so I said, okay, well, look, ask around and get back to me if there's anyone. So a couple of days later, one of the guys, in fact, Ziona, that's you, yeah, Ziona rang me. She said, oh, my auntie Catherine has, she's just about to sign a contract to sell her house to one of these, you know, these quick buy deals where they'll buy your house quickly and you don't have to do anything, you can exchange in 7 days and all that kind of stuff. And she said, so she's wanting to go to America. She's wanting to sell this house really quick. So I said, okay, well, I said, let me chat to her about the deal. So don't sign it. Let me chat to her about the deal. Next day, I saw her, and we sat on her cream leather couch, right? So I knew I was in the right place. And she says, well, I'm looking to sell this house. I said, well, how much is it worth? She said, well, the agents have said that I would get $210,000 for it. And I said, well, what are these guys offering for you? She said, $195,000. So basically, they're just creaming it for $10,000, flip it into the market and sell it that way. So I said, look, that's the wrong deal. Let me pray about it and I'll get back to you. So here I am with this half a prophecy. What do I do now? You know? So I went back to the Lord. He said, Lord, he said, I want you to buy it. Now, I've got a house already. So I was like, what am I going to do with another house? And he said, I want you to stick Charles Prempe in it, and then keep it, and then when you sell it, give him half the profit on the house. So that's exactly what we did. So we bought the house, and just last month, just 3 weeks ago, we sold it. So that was 8 years ago now, and so we just sold the thing. And the gross profit on it was $130,000 from one prophecy. Now, here's the point, right? I didn't look after the youth because I thought, there's a prophecy coming. I'm going to be, you know, financially sorted for the year, etc. Right? That wasn't my motive was, Lord, these guys, they're sheep without a shepherd. They need a shepherd. Number two, they need to be introduced into the supernatural. They need to know in this generation that our God lives. And that was important to me. I needed to demonstrate God to them. And so the Lord, when I sold the property, the Lord said, thank you. That was for looking after the youth. Until that time, I hadn't put the two and two together. Isn't that God? That is so God. That is so God. You see, right. Number one, I declared it. Number two, I labored in it. I did it faithfully. Right. Number three, I endured in it. Some Monday nights going down to the house there, it was like, oh God, Lord, I feel so dry. I need something from you for these young people, Father. Lord, that they might, like he says, Epaphras, our dear brother, labors for you earnestly that you may stand before God. Would you put that Colossians 4 up again there, Gifty, if you can find it? Because it's so relevant to what was going on in my heart at that time. And God was faithful. You see, when we moved house a couple of years ago, and we were basically, because the size of the mortgage had more than doubled, we were losing like £1,300 a month. So things were getting real thin for my family and I. You know, like, how many of you know there's like, at the top it's Fortnum and Mason, and at the bottom is Netto, right? Well, we were at Asda level, right, when we were used to Sainsbury's. I'm not being posh. I'm just telling you what level we were at. You understand? Yeah, you guys, you're all coy about where you shop now, aren't you? Where you shop? Oh, yes, Fortnum and Mason, yeah. Okay. But so that money that came in then from the profit of the house was perfectly timed to shore up the foundations of... Now, I didn't know that 8 years ago when I'm standing there prophesying to these young people. Thank God for Ziona. I owe you lunch, sweetie. Bless you. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. That's my prayer for you this year, that you will stand perfect. Is it possible to stand perfect? Absolutely. If they've declared it in Scripture, it's possible in the now, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. Will you stand to your feet right now? I want you right now to just make a declaration about what the year will be for you personally. We know what it will be corporately. We know that if I've heard God for you this morning, that you know that God's will for your life is for triumph and profitability for this year. So if you believe that I'm a man of God, if you believe that I've heard the Lord this morning, then you'll know that that's God's will for your life right now. That's his general will for your life personally. But there's something specific that God wants you to declare for this year. Let it be something good. Let it be something great. Let it be greater. If the devil, through this last economic downturn that the nation and the world has experienced, if the devil has successfully taken something from you in the area of your material well-being, then let this be a year that you declare that you'll get it back and more. In Jesus' name. If it's in the area of your health, if you need to know how to stand for your healing so that you can too be well, that's God's will for your life. If it's for your family, if they don't know Jesus and you long for them to be saved, let this year of go be a year that you go and that you bring them into the house of God here, that they can hear the word of God, that something can touch their lives. If it's that you've got no sense of self-esteem, that you see yourself as worthless. You may have given your body away in all kinds of immorality and impurity. You may have sold your life into empty philosophy. You may have just walked the wrong path trying to find God, but you know that God is speaking to you this morning. If that's you right now, just declare that this year, you will find the Lord. This year, you will know the Lord. This year, you'll stand righteous before him. It's possible that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. It's possible for your life right now. Just make declarations over your life right now. Be it for promotion. Be it for the blessing of God. Be it for the kindness of God to manifest in your life. Be for it that you find the person that God wants you to spend the rest of your life with. Be it for any kind of thing in your family, that your children will stand righteous before God, that they won't be wayward, that they will stand in righteousness and true holiness. Be it in the area of personal purity, that you stand before God, washed in the blood of Jesus, able to bless his name in righteousness and true holiness. If it's in the area that you know that God has called you to prosper, but yet you've never entered a covenant of prosperity with God, make that covenant right now with the Lord and see what the Lord will do. Try me now in this, says the Lord in the book of Malachi. Try him for this year. Give him 12 months. Give him 12 months and see what he will do. If there is any kind of declaration that you need to make over this year, make it right now. Purpose in your heart, be it for your physical fitness, be it for anything in your life. God wants you to be whole. He wants you to be well. He wants you to be righteous. He wants you to enter heaven. He wants you to have him as your Father. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. We bless your holy name, Jesus. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your word to us, Father. In Jesus' name.